What's your title, Aaron?
The director of the Way of Compassion Foundation.
Okay. Way of Compassion.
I know it seems strange to be a director of anything. In fact, I just try to help out as many people as possible.
Grand Poobah.
Yeah, I feel like everybody directs me, actually, and that actually works better.
Well, you know, that's what works for you, isn't it?
We should change my title to Taking Direction of the Way of Compassion.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Aaron Taylor joins the program now. Aaron is the director of the Way of Compassion Foundation. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Luke. It's so good to hear your voice and to be with you on the radio today, as well as all of those listeners.
Well, we're talking because I guess after a little back and forth, y'all decided to do a compassion festival after all. Tell me a little bit about that process this year.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we had planned to do a 2020 festival and had already had the ball rolling with getting our films submitted, having a screening committee watch them, and starting to plan on what workshops we might be doing. When all of the changes in life occurred and we decided that we were going to focus on what are the next opportunities, and with plenty of help and a lot of kindness of others, we were able to determine on how to actually do an online version of our film festival for 2020. And that began in about June of this year of planning and getting that event rolling. So we're going full steam ahead and plan to have it on August 7th through 9th.
Well, I watched the video on your website, which, by the way, is, give me a minute, compassionfest.world.
Yes, that is correct.
I noticed a whole lot of hugging going on, and I was thinking, you know, I'm glad that there, you know, I mean, I'm not glad that you have to cut it back and make it virtual this year, but, you know, it would have been hard to go to a Compassion Fest and not hug somebody.
I think you're right. I think it would have been very difficult. And the promotional video you're speaking of does have a lot of that wonderful interaction of folks in these videos. So we really tried to have an arc of the video to show this idea of compassion, which is, you know, empathizing with another and recognizing their suffering, their struggles, and seeing ourselves as equal to, and how can we answer the question, how can I help? So then the movie kind of moves through of these processes that happen in these videos about how people are helping, how they're getting engaged in their communities. And these are films that are many documentaries, but also dramatic representations of film as well, which are really beautiful to see.
I remember going to the one last year and being blown away by the films, the long films. And I remember the one from L.A., the guy that ended up in the wheelchair with, what was it, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease or something?
That's correct.
And it just, yes, you know, it was a tearjerker. It was so wonderful to watch.
Yeah, these films and the workshops we have, they really are focused on kind of stripping away all the, one could say, haze from our own open hearts, and to be able to tap into the deeper nature of what we all know to be true is that when we help somebody else, it really quite is a wonderful thing for ourselves as well. So it strips away those outer layers and really goes to a depth, which I feel when I watch these films really I can tap into. So it's quite a gift, and these filmmakers who have taken time to make films like this are to be very much praised, because this is not what we see in our usual screenings of film, the ones that are really present in our culture today, and these are ones that can be a real benefit to our own mind streams and that of others and lead us to living in really positive ways.
Well, you have a section. Well, let's start at the beginning. How can people access this year's Compassion Fest? It's all happening through your website, is that right?
Yeah, we're actually using a third-party website, but the best way to access the festival is through the website compassionfest.world. And there you'll be able to get directed to finding our box office, being able to purchase all-access passes or individual tickets for events. And there's quite a clear description on our box office page where we're selling the passes and tickets on how that whole process works. But basically, if you sign up for an all-access pass, then you're able to then go to our virtual screening page and pre-register for any event you would like to attend. And then during the dates of August 7 through 9, those are the times when you can do screening of all the films. We have two feature-length films and three screenings of short films. And then we also have two workshops that are scheduled already with the hope of a potential third or fourth. So part of our aspiration is to have these live streaming events where you can join live, gain in tools and education focused around living more compassionately as well. So it's a hybrid approach of really being inspired by the films, thinking about what are my personal skills and things that I can offer the world, and then using a workshop, some tools to really gain in some skill to cultivate an open heart, bringing those types of activities into our daily lives. And that's one of the focuses of the festival, is really to encourage people to live meaningful and compassionate lives.
Well, you have a couple of feature-length films, and then, as you said, three different short reels of short films. Let's start with the feature films. Could you maybe give a little blurb description of each one?
I'll do my best. So the first one that I'll bring to the awareness is Balik Bayan, and this is also the subtitled From Victims to Survivors. And this is a gentleman and his wife from Canada, and they travel to his parents were Filipino immigrants, and he was born in Canada. He ended up wanting to go back to learn about his heritage in the Philippines and met up with an organization that was bringing street kids off the street and giving them a place to live, so essentially an orphanage. They ended up linking up with this group called Streetlight and really enriching these kids' lives through performance, through trauma work, and they've gone back for, I think they began going in 2007, and they've gone until this film was released this last year. So it's a kind of a 10-year plus span of these kids' lives and their commitment to these individual kids down in the Philippines. And one of the unforeseen circumstances during the film was Typhoon Yolanda, which made landfall and affected their orphanage directly. So it's a really powerful film talking about how these individuals are going down to help out these street kids in the Philippines. So that's a beautiful film. Really well done and very fun to watch, because using multiple cameras and the filmmaker himself is also one of the main characters and just has a great attitude about life and a lot of energy. So that's one of the films. And the second one is called Father Unknown, and it's about a father and son team that basically the son is interested in finding out some of the missing pieces of their past, and his father, they travel together to go kind of discover some of the challenges of the father's childhood with his grandfather, and ended up meeting some family members along the way that they didn't know they had. The interesting thing about this film in particular is it's kind of one of those films where everything unfolds as it's being filmed, and it was filmed on a camera phone only. And so it has a really interesting draw to us, because one of our main messages is to see about encouraging film that has compassionate themes and compassionate vision, and also not necessarily about the technical aspects of things, because we would encourage filmmakers to express this type of film in any way that they could. If they only had a camera phone, it's a beautiful way to do it with the technology today. So it's a wonderful film that has, this one choked me up quite a bit. Many, many tears during this one. So have your Kleenexes ready.
You know, those father-son stories are freighted, full of emotion. Is emotion necessary for compassion?
That's a great question, and maybe one that's above my pay grade. But what I would say is that what I would say for sure is that through empathy and seeing the struggle of others and having that feeling of sadness, those feelings actually arise very naturally, to be able to experience them and then have that be the fuel and the powerful force to move into compassion. And one of the key distinctions here is that compassion is an action. So it's something that you actually do to remove suffering from the world. In this way, it takes us away from the disempowered feeling of feeling like we can't do anything. So when we look at today's world and oftentimes see things as bigger than we can give influence over, that mindset is exactly what prevents us from influencing the world in positive ways. So in this way, with compassion, you move directly from empathy into compassionate action, which is beneficial for self and others as well. And so we see that there's a movement and emotion is involved. Now, however, to answer that question, if it's necessary, yeah, I think it's above my pay grade. I don't know.
Yeah. But it sounds like...
For me, it is. For me, it is.
It sounds like the natural extension of compassion is service. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, really a nice way to put it. I think service becomes the way that we engage in the world compassionately. And then, so in this way, we also think about how can we give ourselves self-compassion to make sure that we're well taken care of so that we can bring our best self forward. So we never leave ourselves out of this, but we try to equalize ourselves more with others and recognizing that those that we are very kind to us, our friends, those who we actually don't know, who are kind of people who are, you know, just somebody at the store that we've seen a few times, and then those who challenge us in particularly, that these three groups of people, we try to engage with them more and more equally to be able to spread our compassionate our actions out further and further. So it's a process, and we begin where we are, beginning with ourselves and then spreading it out to our loved ones, people who we don't know as well, and then eventually challenging people. So kind of spreading the seeds of compassion outwards.
Huh. So the two feature films, Balik Bayan and Father Unknown. Let's talk a little bit about the short films. It looks like you have kind of three tracks of films. One is Compassionate Healing, one is Compassionate Service, one is Compassionate Understanding. Those are three interesting tacks to take. Why those?
We feel like these tags really lead to a kind of a thematic representation of the films within. And any one of the films in those three could be labeled with the, you know, one of the other subsequent labels. So it's not limited, but we feel like it's a theme throughout those reels. And so we do have 19 short films that are going to be in these three screenings. And very interestingly, we have two or three at least Colorado films, which are really beautiful.
Oh, cool.
To see. So some local filmmakers who have been doing some wonderful work, even folks in our community whose people will recognize their names. So these films touch on anything from kind of encouraging one's abilities after an accident, also looking at supporting a mission in India. We have a film that is talking about kind of the Me Too movement and this idea of these survivor stories and bringing awareness around that. We have actually some really great dramatic representations of these films and that are touching on key issues in our world today with individuals that have dementia and how a son and father relate around this healthy relationship with doing what they can. We have wonderful films about homelessness and the really encouraging actions that are taken around homelessness. And we have some poignant films around immigration as well. So it's a smattering of these different kind of lenses. But one of the things that our screening committee has done that's been so excellent is that they've really taken this focus on what compassion to us represents is an uplifting, very beneficial film that is not putting any group down necessarily. It's really highlighting and focusing in on what are the actions that improve these situations. So it's not only giving us ideas about how we could potentially engage in these opportunities, but it's also bringing a fuller picture of what we don't see in our news all the time. So these things aren't highlighted in the world. They're not highlighted in our daily news feed as much. So one of our aspirations as a festival is to not only give filmmakers a place and encouragement to create films like this, because those films do enter the mind streams of so many people and influence them so deeply, but also to give this highlighting of what are the positive things that are going out in the world and to bring into balance oftentimes a very myopic view of our news feeds that we have in the world today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really that almost sounds like a mission. Is that your mission?
Yeah. Our mission is to really encourage compassionate living amongst people who are in attendance with our festival. So it's actually, it's not a, though it's a consuming type of event where you're consuming films, you're consuming these stories, you're consuming these thoughts, these opportunities for education and workshops, but you actually are moved into a creation phase where you're creating a new way of living, a meaningful way of living, whatever that means for you and in alignment with your values. So that part of our mission is really to have this kind of leverage point to how do we influence more people to live in these ways. And through film, you can access many, many people, and people are accessing many people through film. And to think about oftentimes what's played on the silver screens these days, and to think about how that influences our own mind streams, it's important to consider, just like we choose nutritious foods to eat, that whatever we consume with our minds, whatever we're watching, we're consuming that as well. And is it healthy for us? Is it beneficial? Is it nourishing us, or is it like junk food? And so in that same way, we're really encouraging these healthy, nutritious consuming of these films as well.
Inspiring. It's really inspiring. The last component of your festival, Aaron, is workshops. And I see two listed. Do you have, talk about those. Do you have the, will there be a few more, or what's going on? Tell us about the workshops.
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah. One of the wonderful things about doing an online festival is we can plan it up to the very last minute, and we can be very nimble with it as well. So we do have more workshops we're hoping to secure, but currently what we have, the offerings are the Wisdom of Compassion, and that will be led by John Bruna. Here, he'll really be focusing on some clear techniques and tools for bringing compassion into daily life. And in this way, it is a process. So whenever we think about our own skill sets that we have, myself personally, I used to look at, I used to be a soccer player, I used to be a drummer, and I would look at those things and understand very clearly that if I wanted to become better at playing the drums, I knew that I would have to practice. I knew how to practice. I knew that I could find a teacher, and then with that teacher, I'd be able to start exploring and becoming more supple and flexible and also technical on a certain instrument. So in this way, I think we all understand that. But for some reason, in my own mind, and maybe it relates with others as well, we don't think that we can train to become more compassionate. At least I didn't. I thought it was kind of my personality. This is who I was. This is kind of just what was given to me at birth. But as it turns out, just as is anything else, if we train in these skills, then we actually can improve them, and we can become more proficient at being compassionate. And so this workshop will really describe a process and a series of techniques on how to become more compassionate to encourage an open-hearted living.
Wow.
And the other workshop that we have, yeah, go ahead.
That sounds so good. Very juicy. Very juicy.
Yeah, juicy stuff for sure. And John's really a worldwide known teacher. In particular, he's most known around the United States for working with recovery communities. But he's also the co-founder of the Mindful Life program as well. So he has done TED Talk. He's done a TED Talk. He's really been asked to present in front of large groups. And he has quite a way with capturing the attention and really inspiring the mind. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Our second workshop we have scheduled is a yoga workshop with a wonderful teacher, Devika Gurung. And she is she was born high up in the mountains in the Himalayas and has, at about the age of 18, really been traveling down a path of discovery in her own yoga practice. And she brings a unique style of yoga that is really focused on, as she calls it, self-healing, and kind of guiding people into themselves so that they can engage with a style of yoga practice that has more intuition, a little bit less boundaries, and also it's very compatible with people who are beginners and also experts. And so it has a nice flavor to it, and she brings many, many years of experience and her own discovery through her own illnesses she had in the past, and she's a lovely teacher, very serene and very loving. So we're very delighted to have her for a yoga morning practice on Sunday, which will be live streamed.
So, you know, this is a really exciting development in your festival. This is the second or the third?
This is our third.
Third, yeah. And, you know, it strikes me that the idea that a lot of, it seems like a lot more people could attend your festival when you're doing it virtually like this than if you were doing it in person live at the Third Street Center.
We do have that opportunity, and I think it's lovely how you're bringing to light that idea of opportunity when, as our current time has shown some more turbulence, as I would call it, a little bit more upheaval, what we've noticed is that we've really focused on what opportunities are presenting themselves, and we have had an aspiration to have an online component for our festival in the past, yet we really haven't had the, pardon the pun, the bandwidth to actually make it happen, because we were so involved in getting the in-person festival going. Now, with this year, we've been able to learn about and discover on how to present this in an online format. And I imagine that in the future, we'll continue with an in-person and online event where we can encourage more people to join us. So if people can't be here in person, then they can join us around the country, around the world. Our filmmakers in particular have agreed this year to have their films be shown worldwide, which is actually something that's somewhat challenging depending on who the rights holders are and who the distribution companies are, because it was originally agreed that they'd be shown in a very small local area, which is a benefit to the film. So in this way, working with filmmakers that really see the vision of the festival and understand that the best interest of the films as well as the organizations they represent, that we can spread this worldwide potentially in the future years as well, gaining more viewership and so that this message can spread further. So we're very excited and encouraged about the opportunity this year.
Well, I'm glad you decided to do it. All the best to you. And, you know, maybe you should save a few free tickets for somebody in the White House.
We would love to offer them some. Maybe I'll even craft an email to do that. So thanks for the interesting opportunity and a piece of recommendation. So thanks for that.
Hey, Aaron, thanks a lot, and good luck to you.